I'll never cease to be amazed that, and I was even reminded of this as Terry spoke, of the preparation, not so much that we put in, but the preparation that the Lord puts into His people's worship. And I wasn't surprised when Terry mentioned some things, because my mind was on a passage that Terry actually quoted from, and in John chapter 13, the opening verses. Just as we look now to the Lord's table, I just want to spend a few moments in just reading from John 13 and verse 1. And it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, Ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet, and had taken His garments, and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? And I was really encouraged as Terry spoke, that it was a confirmation that not only of what we've heard already, but these few words and the few thoughts I have just as we look to the Lord's table. In this passage, first of all, we see three things that the Lord Jesus knew. Three things that He knew. In verse 1 we have, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come. And one of the most amazing things that when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, He knew that His life would end at a certain time. He knew what He was in this world for. And if we knew our future, and especially the future that waited for the Lord Jesus, how would we comprehend that? How would we deal with that? The Lord Jesus lived His life knowing that it only had one end, and that was the cross. It only had one consummation. There was no alternative ending. The cross stood before Him His whole life. And yet I like what it says in verse 1, because it doesn't so much emphasize the cross, but it emphasizes His return from this world to the Father. That was His mindset. Jesus doesn't say, or the Word of God doesn't say, that Jesus knew it was time for Him to be crucified. No. That's not the emphasis in the mind of Jesus. When Jesus looked to the end of His life in this world, He saw it as a leaving of this world and a going to the Father. And that's what we should. That's the mindset that we should have. That this world is temporary. There's a day coming, thanks be to God, when we will leave this scene of time and return to the Father. The second thing, in verse 3, that Jesus knew. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And just looking at this for a moment, just from a human point of view, the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that all things had been given into his hands. He was a conqueror for us. He won in our place. He was our substitute. And everything he did, unlike, as Terry reminded us, unlike us who every week who have to mourn our mistakes and our sins and all the things we do wrong, the Lord Jesus was not a self-righteous confidence that we might have if we're successful. But the Lord Jesus had the calm assurance that he, as our champion, as our representative, had done everything well. As the scripture reminds us, he does all things well. The Lord Jesus could say in John chapter 17, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Finished. Even before the cross, there was that calm confidence of his steadfast faith set as a flint to do the will of God. That he could say, I have finished. We could never say that. We can never say that. The Lord Jesus could say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Third thing he knew. He knew his own. And therefore he knew the betrayer. John 13 verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. And the Lord Jesus, in the same way as when he walked the scene of time, could see into the very hearts of those men who gathered around him, he can see into our hearts today. And he knows who are his. And he knows who are not. It's a judgment day. I think, you know what it says in the book of Revelation when it says the books shall be opened? I don't think they're books at all. I think it means our hearts shall be opened. Our souls shall be opened to view. And those who are God's will be seen clearly. And those who are not will also be seen. So, just three things that Jesus knew. Secondly, who Jesus loved. The end of verse 1 says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved his own. One of the saddest parts of the whole debate over election and so on is that it misses the point. The point of the cross was that Jesus came, and Terry made reference to this, that the Lord Jesus came for his own. And that's the whole purpose of the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, is to remind us and to fill us with worship that the Lord Jesus had a people that he came to save. And that not only did he love them, but he loved them even to the very end. Even on the cross, there was no bitterness in his soul. He remained perfect in his holiness, in his love. Even though he was being judged for our sins, never did his love diminish. You know what we're like, don't you? We tend to love people based upon something of what we get back. The Lord Jesus never... I remember even my own mother, and maybe, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I remember even my own mother at times, you know, saying something that there was almost a, well, I've done this for you, now what are you going to do for me? On the cross, there was, even on the cross, the Lord Jesus, even though he was doing so much for us, there was never any sense of, well, you know, you'd better pay me back. There was no sense of that. Because he freely... We've been looking at justification, haven't we, during the week? And we are justified freely by his grace. There's no sense of, you know, God saying, well, this is my bit, now where's yours? He has given everything. Then thirdly, how Jesus loved. How He loved. He rises from supper, verse 4, and laid aside His garments and took a towel. And I, just as I read through this verse, I saw an outline of Philippians 2. It says, He riseth. And the cross was a voluntary act of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, I give it of my own accord. He riseth. He was doing this work. He wasn't depending on the disciples to tell him what he should do. He voluntarily, and as we look at this verse, we see an outline of what Jesus did at the cross. Then we see, secondly, he laid aside his garments. Yes, they stripped him. They took, but he allowed them. They couldn't have done anything if he had not allowed them. Here, he takes off his garments. A short while later, he would again be stripped of his garments. And the purpose was the same for his people. And then he took a towel and girded himself. We read in Philippians 2, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And here he takes the towel of a servant. He girds himself. He prepares himself to be a servant for us. And on the cross, he girded himself literally, not with clothes. He girded himself with the cross. He took upon himself the cross that he might wash us from our sins. And in verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In Philippians 2 verse 8, we read him, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. No three things. Just as Jesus poured the water here, he would soon pour out his blood on the cross. Secondly, just as he washed the disciples' feet, he would soon wash away their sins by his own precious blood. Thirdly, just as he wiped their feet, he would soon on the cross wipe away all that prevented them and us from fellowship with God. For that was the whole purpose of the washing and the wiping. It was to make someone acceptable for the meal. They would wash themselves so that they come into fellowship with the rest of the people. And Jesus, in washing us from our sins by his blood, makes us acceptable and ready to have fellowship with an all-holy God. The thought that came to my mind as Terry talked about those basins, I'm not sure if you brought this out, Terry, but it certainly filled my mind as you talked about it, was the sufficiency of the water. Did you mention that? I'm not sure, but that's what came out in my mind. There was no lack of cleansing material. There was not, you know, we go to a bathroom and we have this little sink, little small sink. These priests come to this enormous, I never knew the dimensions, and I was amazed by that. And the one thought that came to me is that there's no lack of sufficiency in the atonement of Christ for his people. It is completely sufficient. It's all we need. We don't have to go anywhere else for cleansing. And finally, what Jesus declared. Three things he declared. Verse 8, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I wonder, are we all confident this morning that Christ has washed us? As we come to the Lord's table, Christ must have already washed us before we can remember what he has done. Second thing he declares in verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. We need to be confident this morning that if Christ has cleansed us, we don't need any other cleansing, except, as again our speaker this morning mentioned, that daily confession, that daily acknowledgement of our sin. And thirdly, verse 12, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. And I think this is lovely. You could almost read over that, couldn't you? The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, do you understand what I have done? And the one thing the Lord wants us to comprehend this morning is to understand what he has done. I remember, Fran, the night we left Dan's house, the night I was saved, and I remember the words he said. He said, do you know what's happened? And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says to his disciples. Do you know? Do you really comprehend what I have done for you? And this morning as we come to the Lord's table, let us allow that question to penetrate our hearts and minds. Do we really appreciate what the Lord Jesus has done for us? Amen.